Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom on the program this evening. It's been a great day for Air India. On the verge of shutting down, Air India today has a lease of life. It's been formally handed over to the Tatas after they successfully bid 18,000 crores for the airline back in October. An airline which they had started in 1932. So an incredible homecoming of a valuable asset which had been, quite simply, the best airline in the world in the 60s and early 70s. A legacy that the Tatas now want to rebuild. It will not be easy for a host of factors, which is what we are going to be looking at on our big debate tonight.
The Maharaja is now back with the Tatas.
69 years after J.R.D. Tata, the pioneer of civil aviation in the country, began Tata Airlines.
This entire 2,700 crore has been received by the government. We have transferred the shares. Entire 15,300 crore of debt, which was to be retained, that has also been accepted. New board is just doing a meeting now. Okay. So we have handed them over.
The Tatas promise a return to the past, a world-class airline, but also a look at the future. Later in a letter to Air India employees, Mr. Chandrasekharan said, "Today is the beginning of a new chapter. The entire nation's eyes are on us, waiting to see what we will achieve together. To build the airline our country needs, we need to look to the future."
We are totally delighted that this process is complete. We look forward to working with everyone to create a world-class airline.
The Tata submitted a winning bid for Air India in October for 18,000 crore rupees. They've now paid 2,700 crores in cash. They've taken over debt of 15,300 crores. On the 31st of August last year, Air India had a total debt of 61,562 crores. Of this, 46,262 crores has been transferred by the government to a special purpose vehicle. A part of that debt, which has been taken over by the government, will be serviced through the sale of Air India land and property worth at least 14,718 crore rupees.
Formed by J.R.D. Tata in 1932, Air India has been a pioneer in civil aviation. Way back in 1960, Air India inducted its first jet aircraft, a first in Asia. It started flying to New York that same year. By 1962, Air India had become the world's first all-jet airline. And in 1971, it inducted its first Boeing 747 Jumbo and introduced its Palace in the Sky livery and branding. The Air India mascot, the Maharaja, is one of India's most iconic advertising successes.
But with highs came the lows. Overstaffed, debt-ridden, with collapsing service standards. The 2007 merger of Air India and Indian Airlines proved to be disastrous, with combined losses soaring to $960 million by March 2009. And once a previous attempt to disinvest the airline in 2017 fell through, it seemed Air India's days were numbered. By taking on Air India now, Ratan Tata will have fulfilled a lifelong dream. But turning around an airline that bleeds 20 crore rupees each and every day may prove to be his biggest challenge yet. With Sunil Prabhu, Vishnu Shom for NDTV.
Well, joining us now, Vinamra Longani, Head of Operations at Sareen & Company, also joined by Manish Sabharwal, Vice Chairperson of Team Lease Services, and Parampreet Singh Bakshi, Vice President of Consulting at Kappa Advisory. I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us. Let me go across first to you, Mr. Longani. Do you believe that realistically the Tatas will be able to turn around an airline which is bleeding 20 crores every day?
Thank you for having me on the show again, Vishnu. You see, this is a long-term project which has been taken on. You know, this is a momentous task and it is probably going to go down in aviation history as possibly one of the most challenging airline turnarounds in the world. So, you know, what they've taken on is a long-term project. But in my mind, you see, there are certain quick wins that can be had, you know, and these are basics that if an airline gets right, you know, you will start seeing some sort of repeat custom, which is key. And, you know, in my mind, they are on-time performance so that, you know, you depart and arrive on time. You know, there have been so many concerns regarding cleanliness of aircraft, you know, of Air India aircraft. You know, you see these show up on social media all the time.
Right.
What make sure that, I'm sorry, to make sure that amenities, like, you know, if there's in-flight entertainment on a wide-body aircraft, which is operating a 15-hour flight to San Francisco from Delhi, in-flight entertainment works. And, you know, more importantly, to distinguish themselves from low-cost carriers, and obviously Vistara, which is the only other full-service airline, by offering something more. Now, you see, in economy, in the domestic sort of sector anyway, Air India offers a 25 kg baggage allowance. So currently, that's like the big sort of catch for people to fly Air India. Now, let's say, for example, another quick win would be to enhance the meal service, for that matter. So, you know, these things can be done immediately. These don't cost a lot of money. And then I guess in the medium term, the airline needs a sea change in culture. And then overall, I mean, it needs an overall and aircraft need to be refurbished and so on and so forth.
Okay.
Yes,
let me just go across to Manish Sabharwal as well. Now, Manish, if we look at the way this has been done, it's complicated. The Tata Group has paid 2,700 crore rupees in cash. They've taken over debt of 15,300 crores. In other words, they'll be paying, you know, lessors of aircraft, among others, that the government has typically has traditionally owed money to. The deal which they signed was 18,000 crores, which they won in October. Air India's total debt as of August last year was 61,562 crores. Let's have those graphics. Let's play out these graphics. 46,262 crores was the debt which was transferred to a special purpose vehicle by the government. So they had a total debt of 61,562 crores as of August 2021, of which 46,262 crores was the debt transferred to the special purpose vehicle. Now, the government will be servicing, as I understand it, of that 46,262 crores, 14,718 crores through assets including buildings and land. But in the process, the Tata Group will not be retaining prime property. For example, the iconic building at Mumbai's Nariman Point. So therefore, Mr. Sabharwal, the question is this. Is that a setback in a sense for the Tatas? Would that have made the airline less appealing to acquire? Because 14,000 crores worth of assets would be something any company would have been interested in.
I don't think companies are valued on assets. You know, I don't think companies are valued more dead than alive. I mean, companies are valued for their future cash flows. So yes, those assets would have been on the balance sheet, but then the valuation of the company would be different. So I think the valuation that Tata has paid is fair for a company which needs a lot of investment, for a company which is making losses. So I don't think that leaving those assets in would have made a difference. It would have just adjusted the price.
Okay. Mr. Bakshi, in terms of the expenses that the Tatas would need to put in now, for example, refurbishing existing aircraft, the condition of seats, the condition of the insides of aircraft, the possibility of having to install a new premium economy, certainly in on the international sectors, that's going to be an additional expense which the Tatas would need to take. But without that, the viability of the airline in the international sector would suffer. Would you agree?
Thanks, Vishnu. Good evening, everyone. Firstly, I must say that Tata is formally taking over. It's a great day for aviation and possibly a game changer. And this acquisition gives a long-term future for Air India, and a more especially a viable and a secure future. Coming to your point, you know, there's definitely a need for investing in the product. There is a need for upgradations, as the case may be. And that will be a part of the strategy and the plan that the Tata Group will be pursuing. So that is definitely on the cards, will be required and will be fundamental to ensure that the customer experience and the performance of the product is better than what it was with the erstwhile owners. But I think it's a great asset to have, and Tata's should be in all likelihood be possible to deliver what the consumers and the industry expects of them.
Sure. Mr. Sabharwal, in terms of assets, apart from the 110 odd aircraft that the Tatas have acquired, Tell us a little bit about what else is important. For example, historic routes, landing rights in some of the major airports. How important are those in terms of the value that they add to what Air India brings?
I mean, I think the most important thing for Tatas is they already have two airlines. So putting together three airlines together will lead to synergies. I think India is the third largest aviation in the market, but we only had 150 million passengers last year. I mean, China is 650 million. The US is 950 million. COVID is a passing shower. It's not climate change. I think you have a competent competitor with a 65% market share, which makes them vulnerable. So I think overall, you know, companies are valued on their addressable market, and Air India has a huge addressable market ahead of it. I mean, India's prosperity is just getting started. So I think it's a good bet at a time when India's aviation market is just taking off. I mean, most people think about Air India's losses over the last 20 years. I mean, Air India was bought for 2.5 crores, but the government put in 1,20,000 crores over right. just the last 11 years. But the losses are not as important as we lost 25 years. We would probably have been, you know, 200, 250 million passengers by now if Air India wasn't a monopoly for the years that it was, and then it hadn't been offering the goofy service that it was. So I think from a perspective of assets, I think it still is a respected brand. It is coming home to the Tatas, and this is exactly the romance of entrepreneurship that people like the Tatas should, the kind of bets that they should be making. These are nation building bets, and Tatas have always done that.
Vinamra, this is an airline, Air India. I mean, before, you know, they were handed over to the Tatas, which is heavily unionized. It's an airline which has seen lots of differences, say, between pilots and the executive. The executive has never been united for as long as I remember and for as long as I have reported this airline. There is a culture issue over here at place. This became, in many levels, the worst of what a Sarkari organization could be. And at times they did brilliantly well as well. But the fundamental need to change the working style of the airline to realize that unions may no longer work while ensuring flight safety at the very highest levels. This change of culture, how difficult will it be?
You see, Vishnu, in my opinion, what was missing all along was a mission, a purpose, you know, and I think with the Tata Group now firmly back in the cockpit, so to speak, you know, of the airline, you know, there is a mission to bring this airline back to restore its former glory. Now, I'm sure everybody knows Air Indians who have worked in the airline for the longest time or currently continue to work the airline. You know, this airline over a period of time was just prodding along without a purpose. You know, and like you rightly pointed out, look at the missions they operated during COVID, you know, the repatriation flights. Great work. But, you know, once that subsided, you know, it just fell back into mediocrity. So, right. So the cultural change will come from the Tata Group. They have great hospitality brands. So all that really needs to be done is to sort of imbibe all of that good in their various hospitality brands, which are globally renowned, by the way.
Right.
I mean, look at the Taj hotels, you know, people the world over sort of like, you know, drool over Taj properties.
Right. So that's something you feel that could be added as an asset. Mr. Sabharwal, let me ask you this. Emirates has for many years, I mean, at a certain stage till quite recently, I believe it was the principal international airline flying outside, you know, people from our country to destinations abroad. Now, Air India would want to exceed that by far and away. To what extent do you believe direct non-stop flights are the future of Air India's success? There is an entire generation of new ultra-long-haul airliners coming in. Air India already operates the 777-200LR, but there are newer aircraft, more efficient aircraft as well. How important is it ultimately for India, Air India to, or the Tatas to upgrade these aircraft so that they can operate ultra long haul non-stops? Is there money in that business?
I think so. I think for too long we've been tired of flight timings being set by arrival timings in the West rather than departure timings in India. I think we've been too tired of being made to transit through countries or places that we don't need to go. So I would say, you know, the airline market in India is a baby in diapers. I'm not a specialist in the airline market. I just think that Air India has a great market opportunity ahead of it. Long haul is an important part of its destiny, but so is domestic market growth. And it's also, you know, every investment is about timing. Every investment is about how much you pay for it. And I think they've got their timing and their price right. And the government's also got a liability off its books. I don't think governments are meant to run airlines or scooter companies or make bread. Right. I mean, that's the bigger point here. It's also both, nobody's topy-penowing everybody. Both sides are getting what they hopefully will do better at.
In fact, Mr. Bakshi, that was in a sense, my next question. This was the last throw of the dice for Air India, right? If this disinvestment didn't work out, there was one in 2017 that failed miserably. If this didn't work out, the government would not be in a position or not be willing to indefinitely spend on this airline. It would have been shutters on this airline and therefore thousands of jobs as well, right?
Well, Vishnu, that I would refrain from making a comment on that. Obviously, there are ways and means of getting things done and ensuring that there's continuity of business. That's something in the past. We now need to move ahead and look forward, and we believe that there is a lot that the Tatas need to do. We believe that we can expect a new product and service which is of world class standards in a couple of years. There will be some improvements which will be visible in the immediate future. But make no mistake, the integration of this scale and size will need patient capital, it will need strategic expertise, it will need all the wherewithal of the Tata Group, which is there, both internally as well as externally, that they can tap into.
Sure.
To ensure that they deliver on what is expected of them.
Sure.
We believe that the new airline will emerge, which will be stronger. It will be leveraging digital capabilities to the hilt. It will be focused on customer experience as well as employee experience, which is fundamental. And it will come up with a new culture and a new energy for the workforce to be able to deliver on all those promises and potential.
Vinamra, one of the big problems, I mean, it's a benefit for customers like you and me, but it's a problem for the airlines, is price wars in the Indian market. Price wars exist to such an extent that an airline has to fail more than 85-90% to think about making a marginal profit on every flight, or just recovering the costs of a flight. Add to that the incredible fuel expenses of aviation turbine fuel in India, variable charges like parking fees and the like, and it means that every flight is critical from a money standpoint. How much will Air India's success be defined by these factors which exist outside the Tatas? This is what the industry in India is all about. And at one level, it's driving airlines broke. It's a fact.
You see, it is said in the industry, you know, an airline seat is a perishable commodity. As soon as you shut the door for departure, you know, it's lost. So coming back to what you were saying, yes, you know, these pressures will continue. You know, we are on the cusp of seeing another low-cost air carrier, you know, which will launch operations in the summer. There is another airline which sort of is trying to emerge out of bankruptcy. So, yes, there is going to be ample capacity that's going to be added. But in my opinion, what the Tatas really need to do, and I'm nobody to sort of tell them what needs to be done, because I'm sure there's a grand game plan which has been put together already. It's just that people like you and me have got to sit and sort of think as to what may be done, because they already know what needs to be done. But anyway, coming back to the point, what they need to do is to enhance the Air India experience, and to a point where someone who flies a low-cost airline and is going to buy a sandwich on board and is going to buy a chai on board, because everyone does, because you're bored on a low-cost airline, would be willing to give that amount of money upfront to Air India when they buy a ticket. Right. And, you know, there are other frills, like, you know, a frequent flyer program, which, you know, which sort of, like, you know, encourages loyalty. So these are things that, and obviously use their great legacy. Everyone loves Air India. You know, who doesn't love Air India?
Well, I would love to give Air India. There's certainly a national or an emotional connect with
Absolutely.
Air India.
Absolutely.
Well, gentlemen, I'd like to thank you very much for being with us this evening. Let's see what happens with the Tatas and Air India, but it is a fantastic opportunity and let's hope it really works out. There is something about Air India which tugs at one's emotions in this country. Lots of views on coup. Nitesh Tyagi has written in saying, will Tata be able to act as a boon for Air India? Well, that's certainly the hope. I think running business is not the government's cup of tea. I hope that the new owner will take Air India to a new height. Well, earlier today, I spoke to R. Gopalakrishnan, a former director at Tata Sons, to get an idea of the culture of working within Tatas and how they would need to work with this new asset to make it realize its true potential. Thanks, sir, very much for being with us. What does this mean for Ratan Tata? What does it mean for Tata Sons?
You know, this is really something which has a lot of logic to it and a certain overlay of emotion. I do not believe that business can be run purely with logic or purely with emotion. And this is a nice mixture. The emotion I don't have to describe. We've always wanted to welcome back the young girl who left our house after marriage and never managed to come back. So that's the emotion part. But from a logic point of view, Tatas have undertaken many bhag items, I call them, you know, big, hairy, audacious goals. We know all of it. The history is known and I don't need to repeat it. Mithapur, Jamshedpur, hydroelectric projects. And I think this is one more bhag item that has come into Tata's.
Right.
And I think I would be surprised. I'm obviously not privy to what is going on and therefore I'm talking. If I knew much, I would not be talking, as you know. They would probably apply exactly the same three principles that have stood Tata in good stead for 100 years.
Which is what?
Being people-centric.
Right.
Being professional.
Right.
And being patient.
And is that not perhaps the biggest challenge that the Tatas would need to sort out? Because the culture of the airline, let's face it, Air India has become very sarkari, for want of another word. It's been heavily unionized over the last several decades. There are lots of disputes as far as salary structures and the like are concerned. Standards of professionalism and service, which were world-class in the 60s and 70s, has sharply deteriorated. So therefore, to build up those human skills and overcome some of these factors, which I mentioned, how much of a challenge will that be?
Well, it's always a challenge. And that's why I called it bhag items, you know, big, hairy, audacious goals. And Tatas are not inexperienced in doing this. For example, when Telco was set up in 1945, they took over an existing unit, which was making steam locomotives. More recently, during my time in Tatas, they took over CMC. They bought VSNL. And so we have some experience of these so-called sarkari. And if you follow this three-step approach, people-centric, professionalism, and patience, give it some time. Our experience has been that people do adjust.
Right.
But will it be challenging? Of course it will be challenging.
Could you tell us a little bit more, sir, about how...
Others haven't rushed in to get into this, you know?
Got it. Could you tell us a little bit more about how this has been at the core of what the Tatas have wanted for several decades? That it came close on a couple of occasions, but never worked out till a couple of hours back.
Well, you know, I use the word professional in the three P's that I mentioned.
Yes.
People-centric, I think most people understand Tatas are fairly people-centric. Tatas are patient, most people understand that. But Tatas are also very professional. And professional means you want to take this on transparent terms and you want to turn it around under transparent terms. Some of the occasions in the past have not been so, for whatever reason. This time it seems to me, and remember I'm commenting from the outside, that it's been a fairly transparent and professional process. And therefore Tatas have, been happy to accept their old daughter, a daughter who left the house many, many years ago.
All right.
And take the challenge.
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I'm sure that one of the great assets that Tata have in taking over, apart from the debt and the equity, which everybody looks at, is that we are carrying an intangible asset, which is a tremendous goodwill of 135 crore Indians to make this work.
In fact, that's something which Mr. Chandrasekaran referred to in his letter to Air India employees, saying it's a new beginning for the airline. Let's work towards the future in as much as we remember the past. For thousands of Air India employees who may have been jobless, because if this didn't go through, the airline would shut down. The government has made that clear. Right. This is very much a new beginning. It's a lease of life in a sense.
Right. So let's hope that the reincarnation of Air India will go as per our dreams.
Do you think the livery needs to change? Do you think it needs to have a different look? I'm asking for your personal opinion. Or do you believe that this is the definitive Air India look?
No. I cannot comment on that. Air India is a fantastic brand. Obviously, liveries change periodically and the right people will take the right view at the right time. I cannot comment on that.
No, I was asking for your personal opinion. That's fine, sir. Thanks so much.
Take care.
For speaking to us and sharing that viewpoint.
Okay, former director
at Air India, at the Tata, is telling us a little bit about the culture of the company and the importance of this acquisition.